Out on this third, next week at Deeper will be our final evening in this short series. And hopefully you will remember that we're covering some ground that is common to all sorts of, all forms of prayer, or I was proposing. And the first week we looked at all forms of prayer. All prayer is engaging with the supernatural and understanding who we are in terms of the supernatural and the realities of the heavenly realms and the supernatural and the unseen as well as the seen is critical in helping us to receive prayer, prayer for others, and be part of prayer ministry. And then last time we looked at how we hear God's voice, the many different forms in which we can receive, whether that's actually hearing audible voices, whether that's coming from scripture, from dreams, visions, and so on. The many different ways in which we hear God's voice, the manner in which God speaks to us. And we were talking about when we hear God's voice, we have that revelation. That's the voice that we hear, or the message, or the picture, or the words that we receive. Then we need to interpret that for ourselves, or where appropriate, for other people. But we need to understand, what does it mean? And we need God's interpretation, not our own human fleshly understanding. And then we need to know how we apply that word to our lives. So that's where we were for the last 2 weeks. And this week, we're going to talk about the truth of who we are. But before we get in there, I'd love you to turn to one another and just ask one another, is there a testimony for you in over the last few weeks? Is it new? Is it uncomfortable? Is it, yes, I'm excited, I'm nervous, or actually, yes, God spoke through that other person last time we prayed for each other, and it's been a really special word. So just for a moment, between each other, twos and threes, have a quick chat, and just be completely honest, we are in a learning safe environment. I want you to feel safe in this place. So if you want to sit on your own and not talk to anybody, that's totally okay. No one's obliged to, and I know some people would much prefer, so that's okay. So please feel, but see what there is amongst us. Okay, I'd love to share one or two testimonies, particularly of how God may have spoken in our prayer times. And have you? Yeah, Jane, come on. So, one of one 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 of the things that we're trying to do, this is training, and sometimes we're doing new things. We should be doing new things, and therefore sometimes that's going to be uncomfortable, and that's okay, and that's for us to press in. And one of the things that I passionately believe in is that God speaks in many different forms, and every single one of us is designed to be able to hear God's voice in its many different forms. And so to have testimony of how God is speaking to one another in different ways is just really, really important. So, Jane.
Yes, I was having some prayer about being able to leave work well and leave loose ends tied. And there was a particular bit of software which I'd not quite been able to tweak. And on the Sunday night, I dreamt the solution. Monday, I logged on from home, tried it, and it worked. Praise God.
Isn't that cool? That's just wonderful. God spoke. I'm going to ask Marion. I prepared Marion earlier.
I think he probably asked me. I'm not sure I would have come to share this because it seems not very super spiritual, but I think that's probably the point, really.
I would say this is super spiritual. Seriously, listen to this, and I'll, if you don't
understand why, I'll share it more.
So, okay, so last week I was in a group, and Emma asked us to pray. Oh. Okay. Oh dear. So Emma asked us to pray for the second thing, where we talk about where she's come from and what makes her. And I'm praying, and I'm sort of new to this, and I'm like, I'm got blank canvas and nothing's coming. But I've got a scientific type brain, so I'm thinking, I can't do this blank thing. I think I need something a bit more concrete. So I'm good with a list. So I'll ask for a colour, and then I can go through the colours, and I can see. And I very clearly got green. So that was it, and I shared it with Emma afterwards, and Emma said, that's her favourite colour. And that was an encouragement, and I think the message is, start where you are, do something small, do what you can.
Brilliant. Absolute brilliant. I think that is one of the most beautiful stories and testimonies that we're going to have. And I'll tell you why. Because there's someone who's not comfortable about or not experiencing and building confidence in listening to God's voice. Now, as I'm going to share in a moment, prayer ministry is bringing an encounter between God and the person you're praying for. And one of the key things that we all need is to know that we're known and to know that we're loved. Now, by Marion, who doesn't know Emma, really, to sit and say, okay, Lord, give me something for Emma, which is the heart of the question, and she gets the colour green. Now, there are any number of other colours that she could have picked, but she picked green. And green is Emma's favourite colour, and is always around. And it's as simple as saying, God knows Emma. And God was speaking because the question was, God, how have you made Emma? So Emma knows that God is talking, and Marion is receiving a word from the Lord. It's something simple, but you go away and say, well, God's given me that word. And it's not profound in any way, but it's profound in saying God knows and is alive and is speaking. Does that make sense? And that is what I'm trying to, this course is to encourage us to be both getting excited about, but also to be building our confidence in to pray for ourselves like that, to pray for others in prayer ministry. So thank you, Marion, for being brave enough to share that. And so I just want to reiterate that I prayed with someone, I think, on the first week, and they said, I'm really not comfortable about this, or I've never really done this. And I just said, just trust the Lord and share with what you got. And this person almost instantly came out with a word. They were actually praying for me. Came out with a word. And okay, it didn't completely land immediately. The words, okay, I'll receive it. I'll go and, you know, ask the Lord about it. But the other person in our triplet is quite comfortable about listening to the Lord. And he said, so can I just ask, would this be, so he's beginning to interpret, would you mean this for this in that word? Sorry, I'm not being more specific. And that person who received it said, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I said, and I could, that's totally me. So the initial word didn't necessarily land, but unpick what that word could and did mean, and it totally landed. And it was quite an obscure thing. But again, God was speaking to me and saying something, and used that person who isn't very used to and experienced at doing that. So I just want to encourage us to practice and dare to go there. Trust the Holy Spirit. Trust the Lord to use you and to offer. And the critical thing in all these, and we'll talk more about next week about how we do this well, is that we offer these things. We don't say, the Lord says, you are this, that and the other. You offer it and say, does this sound right? I think I'm getting this word. I want to offer it. And the person's responsibility is to receive it and take it away and respond to it. It's not our responsibility if we're praying for someone else. So, today, I want to talk about us. It's us who's involved in this praying. And I just want to touch on the issue of the truth of who we are. An essential element of our very nature as human beings is our need to know that we are loved. That we are loved. And I'm going to turn that slightly different around. And also, because I found this incredibly helpful and important for me, is that I am lovable. So it's critical that we need to know that we are loved, but actually, I am lovable. And the other thing is that we belong, that we are known. In that testimony about the colour, that is showing that Ems is known by God. And actually, as I was writing this, I suddenly thought, yeah, and that's what we're trying to do with our welcome teams and our welcome. When anybody comes in, we want them to be known and welcome and feel that they belong. And so I suppose, again, honing that these evenings are particularly focused on moving towards developing and opening up our prayer ministry to one another, is I think the heart of prayer ministry is for the person being prayed for to ultimately deepen their revelation of those two needs, that they're loved and they're known. Now, they may come with an issue. I've had a bad week. I'm having an argument with my wife or my husband or my friend. I've lost my job. Or that might come as the issue. But underlying, as we pray, that person needs to know ultimately they're loved and they're known. And if on that solid foundation, any difficult situation is possible to navigate. About 10 years ago, when I started to personally experience and understand these things, I was being prayed for in America at a church, and this amazing family, who we're still in touch with and friends with, sat down, and they started to pray for me, and they got what I call original design, but they just got lots of words about how God created me, they just sat and said, and I just sat and said, you are on the nail with all these things. I said, can we pray for your family? Who have you got in your family? So I said, well, I've got my wife Emma, and I've got, I think at that point, three children. And they gave words for each of those children. And they were beautiful words. But for one of my daughters, they had this image, so praying for this daughter, and they said, I got this picture of this wild horse running across the the wild, the prairies of America. And do you know what? That spoke so deeply because of the character of that child. And that picture has helped navigate all sorts of situations over the years. And it's a beauty. It's still a picture I hold dearly about the character of that that child. And it was God knows, and yet he's speaking through people who are total strangers on the other side of the world. On another occasion, when we sort of, okay, Lord, where does Peter need some healing? And again, this was a 5-minute, 10 minutes, not an hour and a half prayer ministry session. This was 10 minutes at the end of a service. And this young lady, again, we were in America, and she said, I got a picture of a bike, a red bike, and she sort of described the bike. And she said, I think you're in, there seems to be in heaven, but you're being given this bike. So how old was I? 30, certainly well into my mid to late 30s when I got this picture. She has no idea how that picture for me was totally landed and redeemed a situation. I've always been hurt. And there's a situation when I've got two brothers, and at a certain age, we were always taken off by my father to buy a bike. And I knew exactly what type of bike. I had seen that the particular handlebars. Red is my favourite colour. And we went into the bike shop, and the memory I still have is I'm about this high. My dad's about that high, and then there were two gentlemen who ran, and they were about that high, and I was down here. And I was describing the handlebars that I particularly wanted. It wasn't the racing, it wasn't that there was a particular, and I'd seen a friend with them. Anyway, I could not get this message over. And eventually, I agreed to a bike because it was all becoming a little bit pressurized, and I didn't want to cause any more problem, and so I bought this bike. And it was a great bike, but it wasn't the bike that I wanted. And it wasn't the bike that I had felt intimidated. And it had always been a sadness and a pain whenever I had thought about. And she didn't know what that was about. But as soon as she started talking about a red bike in heaven and God saying, you know, it's here, or however you, it ministered deeply, deeply to me. Maybe a silly thing, but actually it was a really critical thing. And that God knows me and he knows you. And by sharing that, he's saying, I love you. I love you and I know you. So in prayer ministry, that's so much of what we are trying to do. And the ability to listen to God and not our own fleshly good ideas, particularly if we know the person. And we'll talk more about that next week specifically. But to help people get greater revelation of how much they're loved and that God knows their particular circumstances. That, I think, is the foundation of prayer ministry. And if we're going to pray for other people, and Diana's just said to her, if we're going to pray for other people, then it's quite good for us to receive that prayer and grow in a richness and greater levels of knowledge of the fact that we're loved, to then be able to minister out of that assuredness for ourselves. So I think that's, you know, it's not just about the other people. And this is why we're going to pray again this evening, and we'll continue to pray, and I continue to encourage you to pray for one another. And so let me take you into sort of dealing with some of the other truth of who we are, some scriptural foundations as well. One of the greatest numbers, for want of a better phrase, that's been done by the fall, by the enemy, if you're happy with that sort of language, is to undermine the reality of who we are, to undermine our understanding of the truth of who we are through deception And it started right at the beginning as the snake whispered to Eve, saying, "Did God really, really say that?" begins to bring doubt and accuse. So let me just cover a couple of basic scriptural things about who you and I are as a believer. When we accept Christ into our lives, then we become a number of things. Firstly, we become a new creation. Have you all got your notes? By the way? Have you all got? Yeah, there's some notes at the back if you haven't got them. The first thing, and again, I'm just going to blast it. I'm not digging deep into these, but I want all these notes. I hope that you'll take away and sit in and go and explore just dig deeper into. But once we receive Christ, we are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So those past things have gone. Christ took them on the cross. We are, firstly, a new creation. Secondly, and this is massive, and we could have a 6-week teaching program on it in itself, is that Christ dwells within us through the Holy Spirit. Christ lives in you. Paul uses the phrase, and it's critical to his theology, 89 times in his letters, Paul says, Christ is in you or in Christ. Just to give you one example in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified, that's Paul is saying, I've been crucified, and you and I as believers have been crucified with Christ and no longer live. But Christ lives in me. Christ lives in you. Let me share the third thing and then let that sit for a moment. As a believer, we are full. We have everything we need to do everything that we are called to do. The enemy would whisper that we aren't, and we're not good enough, and we don't have what it takes. But Scripture and Christ tells us that we are full. Colossians, in Christ is the fullness of the deity. Okay, so the fullness of God is in Christ. Christ is fully God and fully man. And Paul says Christ is the fullness of the deity, lives in bodily form, and you and I have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head of every power and authority. Now, I could go in for sitting there and say the implications of that are massive. What did Christ do? He went around preaching the good news and healing the sick and casting out demons. Christ dwells in you, and Christ calls you and I to go and do that. You and I have everything that we need in Christ. And that's reiterated in Ephesians, just to give again another example. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms, with every, not just some, not just the ones I fancy giving to you, but we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Christ, we are Christ's ambassadors. It's the other phrase, isn't it, that Paul uses. Ambassadors in the world. What is the ambassador? The ambassador represents the government of the country and generally has full authority to represent the Queen, UK ambassadors. That is the same with you and I. The fullness of Christ lives in us. Just stop for a moment right there and think of the implications of that. For some of us, that's almost, I can't get my head around it. And some, it can make us quite uncomfortable about what that implication is. But there is a call upon each and every one of us to be able to, we're called to pray for the sick, cast out demons, to share the good news of the kingdom. And we can do that because Christ lives in us. And the number that I keep saying, I believe, that is the deception that we're not good enough, that the lies that cram in and destroy us and undermine us. Now, this isn't, we've got to be careful about, I'm not saying, right, I can walk out of here saying, I'm the man. I've got it all. I'm fully loaded and I'm ready. There is a truth in that, but of course that's coming out of an arrogance and but there is a confidence in what we carry. And we do that with humility. In a prayer time, we're not saying, you are! We sit there and say, I think God is saying, and I offer that to you. We serve with humility and kindness and love, etc., etc. But the church as a whole has often lived about, ooh, poor me. And I'm going to show a video in a moment, which hope pictorially visits this. And you're going to have to listen to my voiceover, I'm afraid, because we've got a sound problem. But the imagery is really... really powerful. But I'm just telling you, that is our spiritual heritage as believers. All of us have those things in us. And I totally accept that that's a sort of a fire hydrant a piece of truth that I'm dumping on you. But go and sit in some of that. Begin to unpick. And I'm hoping that, you know, over the next year or so, we'll unpick that because we'll be doing some more training and developing that. That's who every single one of us, but each one of us is unique and precious and made in our own, in a unique way. And therefore, when I talk about original design and therefore praying for one another, it's getting into, okay, I'm a believer, but we've got all these lies that arguably I would present to us, we've got all these lies about who we aren't or are, but by going and saying, okay, Lord, would you just show, who is Peter? How did you make him? We begin to reclaim the truth of how God made each one of us, and we're all different. And I can't tell you the number of truths that have come through that have countered. Oh, I'm not really that person. I feel very nervous about that. But God come in and say, no, God has made you that. The reason I'm nervous about it and fearful about stepping into that is because the enemy doesn't want me to be who God created me to be. Does that make sense? The enemy is trying to undermine the reality of who we are. And so this term original design is you know, what's our DNA? It's who are we? Who did God create us? You know, think of Psalm 139. For God created us in the innermost being. You knitted us together in our mother's wombs. You know, God knows exactly who you are. Do you know? Wouldn't it be fun to know who you are? And of course, you know, you'll know much of who you are, but there's so much more there really is. And this is the battle for truth. Go to John 8:32. You know, once you know the truth sets you free. Those where, when someone says the truth, it lands deep in here in the spirit, and you start to break off those lies and those doubts and the things that bind us. Scripture is obviously the staple diet of truth and who we are. But then to sit and have someone say, you know, I just think God is saying this about who you are. Just, wow. You know, it just opens up another level. And I think that's one of the great powerful things of listening to God and praying for one another. The battle over truth in the heavenlies is this battle of truth of who we are. Coming against the lies, coming about the doubts that undermine us, the accuser. Genesis 3, you know, the serpent saying to you, did God really say that? Right from the beginning, the deceiver is in, whispering to undermine. And the battle of truth in the natural world is constantly the battle of what's true, what isn't. And Paul says in Romans 12, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what is God's will, his good and pleasing. Where does that sort of, the world says, I don't know, this body image looks like, or this is what good looks like, or this is what success looks like, or this is what, everything, this is what it looks like. You say, well, is that really the truth? Is that how God says beauty is? Is that really how God sees success or beauty? It's going back into prayer and say, okay, Lord, what do you say? That sort of challenge between renewing our minds, hearing the truth, pitting truth against the lies, then starts to transform lives and bring restoration. Seeing through God's eyes is a catalyst for change. And there's a humility in all this. Humility is not about woe me on my knees. Humility is about being in agreement with God and being obedient to God. God says you are the most precious, beautiful creation. He knows exactly who you are and says, I love you. And you are lovable. And this is who I created you to be. And that's been able to say, yeah, okay. Well, if you've made me like that, well, perhaps I need to live like that. And then starting to overcome perhaps where we withhold. I've got a thing called a birthright card, which at the end, please go away, take one at the back. But it's just a list of scriptures that says, that tells you, who are you as a believer? Areas of where am I accepted, where am I secure, where am I significant, and the truth of who you are. And there are lots and lots of scripture, surprisingly, I'm telling you how wonderful each and every one of us is. But take one of those, and I hope that will be a blessing to you. But I want to show a clip. Sorry that the audio isn't there, but I'll tell you what's going on. Who watches has seen The Lord of the Rings? Is that a good number? Okay, so, yeah, let me talk you through this act. Do you know, there'll be a miracle in a moment and the sound will come on. No. All right. Gandalf is the sort of, he's the one with the stick and the staff. He's the Jesus-like figure in the story. Now that's Wormtongue, who's whispering into the king's ear. They're not being very welcomed. I'm just going to stop it there. So I don't know if you saw a moment. You'll see in a moment the king is old and bent and decrepit, and his eyes are he's blind. And the character sitting next to him is his advisor called Wormtongue. And when Gandalf and his companions arrive, Wormtongue whispers. Says Gandalf the Grave and his wandering band of whatever are here. They're not welcome, he whispers into the king's. So he's beginning to, you know, he's whispering deception. Let's just have a look at the just whispers that the king is old and decrepit, bent over. they're not being, not really sort of welcomed. And he feeds the king a line that sort of says, and the king sort of says, it's a bit late for you turning up, why are you here? And Wormtongue says, oh, good response, well done, because it's not a very nice, warm welcome. There he says, oh, well done, Liege, yes, it's what? And he then stands up and he starts to mock Gandalf and his, you know, who are you? Why are you here? You're nothing. You have no place. He's undermining. He's putting down. But Gandalf, the Jesus-type figure, is truth. And he says, be silent. What if we could say silence to the whispering accuser in our own minds about who we are or who we're not? And Gandalf walks to the king, who's not welcome, and said, welcome, it's delight. What's happened? He starts to speak over the king the truth of who the king is. But you are the king. Why are you not welcoming us? And then he says, enough's enough. I'm going to break the spell that's over you. Or the curse that's over him. Now the curse starts mocking Gandalf and saying, you can't kill me, and if you cast me out, I'll kill the king. But Gandalf turns around, and so he's undermining, he's removing. But actually Gandalf knows who he is, and he turns around and says, you couldn't kill me, and therefore you won't kill the king, so as truth, I'm going to continue to cast you out and break the curse. This is a spiritual battle going on. Yes, you are. No, you're not. Yes, I am. Just want you to see what happens. Okay, so in simple terms, the curse, whatever the curse is, has been cast out of the king. Now he was blind. He's now beginning to see. He's beginning to recognize his daughter for the first time. And he's suddenly half the age. He'll get up in a moment, put his sword on, and everybody goes and has a banquet. Or something. So, can you see, basically, in very simple, and I'm sorry, the video, the audio isn't there, but the king is overcome by a curse and is bound, in simple terms, spiritually, and he's got wormwood whispering in his ear. It's the enemy whispering, our doubts, our, however you want to put it, the fall, it's breaking, undermining and mocking. Controlling the situation. And then when we break, truth comes and says, truth, I am truth, cast out the lies, the curse, and then suddenly the king is back to who he is. And the king living under that curse is blind and decrepit and unable to be the king. And then once the curse is broken off him, he becomes alive, he gets his energy, he knows who he is, he can stand up and he can be the king. Can you see the illustration? Nod at me that I'm making some sort of sense. Great. It is the most, it's one of those, I find, most incredibly powerful illustrations that film does so well. So, enough talking to me. Now we're going to get back into it. I want to just encourage us. This is we're practicing. We're learning. What I'd love to do is there are some people who are comfortable about the sense that they hear God's voice through pictures or words. And I'm just wondering whether I could pair or get you to put your hand up or stand up and allow those people who are really uncomfortable or not used to doing it or would just like to be with someone else to go and pair up with, well, get into a triplet with them. I would really love you to do this exercise, which is listen to God, get yourself out of the way, listen to God and ask the question, God, how did you make Judy? What would you like Judy to know about how you made her tonight? It may be that her colour, favourite colour is pink. But all that is doing, I don't know if it is, all that's saying is saying, God knows you, and it's building that reassurance. And rather than, now I know that on our evenings, some people have chosen not to do the listening thing and have asked have you got a problem? Can we pray? And then we've prayed into it. And that's okay. But I just want to encourage us this evening to actually step into that listening ear and stretch ourselves if that's something new. And just trust. If you don't get anything, that's absolutely fine. There's no comparison. It's just us journeying together. Does that make sense? Okay. Are you okay if I ask people who are quite comfortable to stand up and just... We'll work it out. This is a safe place. I love each other. We'll love each other, don't we? If you're quite comfortable feeling that you hear, hear from the Lord and you get pictures or whatever, would you mind standing up? I know there are plenty of you. Great. Dave, Alice, I both know that you hear the Lord. Diana, you hear the Lord, and so do you, Paul. But that just. Can I just, if you can, go and join up in a three with someone who's standing and then ask, again, do that question. And we've got half an hour, so it's short and sharp. So move, get into your threes, find someone. And if you're not with somebody, then that's okay. I will be with a three. There's Dave behind. Nick, you hear from the Lord. How are you doing? Can I draw you back? One or two? Just finishing off. Okay, so the first thing is when you leave, please take one of these birthright card sheets with you. I've put them at the back here. Okay, so how are you all doing? How was that? Give me some nods, give me some... Yes? Yeah? Good? 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 Encouraging? Good? Yes? Anybody want to share a particular something that... Anybody want to share anything? Don't have to.
It's quite difficult to hear and needing a lot of time to stop, create space.
Yes.
Your own mind. It's not an easy thing.
No. Paul's absolutely right, but I'm going to put a but in there because God is God. And my experience is that if you've got 10 minutes, God can reveal an awful lot in 10 minutes. And there's just practice and faith and trust. If you've got time, and it would be lovely. And there's if we could set up, just as Diana's the course is, give an hour and a half to pray for someone. That is the most loving thing, to be able to pray, sit down with someone and pray with them for an hour and a half. And that certainly gives you time and this, that and the other.
We got it in 20 minutes.
Yeah. And that's practice, and we'll all have different experiences about being in tune. Some of us will hear, just have much more of a gift. It's just we're made and that sort of thing, and that's fine. In our group, there was just the risk of drifting. The question in this particular format of prayer, and it's just one way, asking questions and knowing what the question is really critical, because if you have a very broad question, then you could get all sorts of things that may or may not be helpful or whatever. But knowing what the question is and then sticking to the question, we began to drift occasionally to what I would call words of in season. So it wasn't how has God made this person, and therefore you're getting a word of love from the Lord saying your colour. I know that your favourite colour is green. We just occasionally drifted into, I think this is a time and season where it's this, that and the other. Now, it's loving and it's good, but it wasn't necessarily the question. So we were just talking and teaching and sharing that actually, well, what are we doing? What is our question? And when we go and listen to the Lord, there's a place to say, I'm here, Lord. But there's also times to be able to say, okay, Lord, what do I do in this situation? Or what is it that Helen needs to hear this evening in this moment because of the situation or whatever it is. So I just throw that out, because I would hope it would be amazing to be able to do this sort of thing for one another on a Sunday or at any other time. Say, what would the Lord say to you today? Or how did God make you? Because when God turns around and says, I have made you. And sometimes the most simple thing, God says he's made the most amazing man. Now, to most men, hearing that word from someone in a prayer will completely reduce us to tears, because we don't hear it. We're always trying to be man. No. But actually to know that God's made us gentle and kind, or whatever we are, actually, it's that reassurance. Sure, there were one or two. We're just to finish. I hope that's been a blessing. Continue to practice. We're going to do deeper next week. I'm going to do a little bit more of practical. What does it look like in a practical situation about caring, being sensitive? What is it that we're doing? So we'll do some of that, and therefore what it means to go forward, and we'll worship a lot next week. So any final questions before we pass 8 o'clock? It's time to go. Wonderful. Let me pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for what you are doing amongst us at this time. Thank you for your words of revelation and encouragement this evening. Continue to guide us on this journey and lead us and reveal yourself to us. In Jesus' name, amen. One final word, and I think some weeks ago someone said, well, great, what do I do with this? And the great doing is that this is truth. If you've got three words of truth about who you are, then hold on to them. Pray, put them in your Bible, put them next to the mirror that you look, and you look at and say, gosh, God made me courageous. God made me a lover of the colour of green. God made, but they're words that says, I know you. Now the deceiver and the deceptor and the accuser is going to turn around and say, no, your favourite colour is actually blue. Oh my goodness, am I blue? Or whatever. But the deceiver will try and rob these words from you. But hold on to them and treasure them. These are truths. And you've entered the spiritual battle by hearing them. And then declare them. I am a man of peace. I am a whatever. And go into the day knowing that. As well as, and the birthright cards will give you many, many more scriptures for that. Thank you. Bless you. Chairs around the edge. be able to not stand.